today. Is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for May 5th, 2017. And we got another great show planned for you today. We're going to do things a little differently today. We're going to save all of the high school sports, both the scores and the upcoming schedule, and a couple of community schedule items. We're going to save that for the end, all for the end of the show. So before we get to that, I got a couple of subjects I want to talk about today. So we'll use the first two segments today to cover each one of those subjects. And what I'd like to talk about is a little bit more about the upcoming election, and including the bond measure that's on that election. We've talked about it quite a bit here, but some new things going on this week I wanted to talk about. But before we get to that, there's something else that's been something that I really enjoy and that's really important to me, and that's the Miss Rogue River Scholarship Pageant. And there's been a development this week regarding the pageant, and so I thought we would talk about that a little bit. In the Rogue River Press this week, it was announced that the Miss Rogue River Scholarship Pageant has been canceled this year. And as you know, I've served as the MC for the last several years, and my wife has served as one of the directors for the last few years also. And before I get into this, I want to say one thing related to with my wife serving as one of the directors. This year, before all of the activities started related to the pageant, she let the other directors know that she wanted to step aside and not be involved with the pageant. And they came to a bit of a compromise where she's kind of a silent director and she acts more in a treasurer role than anything else, kind of handling most of the money duties for the pageant. So I wanted to kind of use that to preface what I want to talk about, because she's not really involved in what's been going on over the last few months, at least not directly. Of course, she's in on some of the conversations when they make decisions, but the day-to-day she's kind of stepped aside from. So I wanted to separate that a little bit before we get into this. But I got to say that the main reason I wanted to talk about this, and it's a little bit of a selfish reason for me, because I really enjoy being involved with the pageant. I love working with the really talented young women we have in this community and helping them get those scholarships that the pageant is there to give out. So needless to say, this decision to cancel this year's pageant is really something I'm not super happy about, and I wanted to get into kind of what's going on. And some of you may know, two of my daughters have participated in the pageant. In fact, my oldest daughter was the reason that I got involved as more than just a parent. At the time, Dave Earhart was the MC for the pageant. He'd been doing it for quite a few years. And he needed to step aside to do more of the activities that his kids were involved in, their sports and other things. And at the same time, my daughter had won the pageant in 2012. And of course, the pageant winner the following year acts as the co-host. And so when Dave stepped aside, I asked the directors if they would consider letting me MC the pageant, and it was a perfect opportunity because my daughter had won, so I would have a familiar co-host, and everything, went really well from there, and I really enjoyed it, and I've been MCing it ever since. And so the decision to cancel the pageant this year was made at least in part, or at least this is the the public information that's there. And I'm going to do my best to temper my remarks, because there are things that I know that are happening on the inside that are not public information, and it's not right for me to share those things, and I'm not going to share those things. I'm only going to approach this from the information that's public information and how it's being handled and what I think of that. None of the things that I may have heard or may know, or conversations that I've had with the girls involved or with the other directors or my daughter, both my daughters have participated. My older daughter was volunteering this year to help out. So none of those conversations are going to go into what I have to say about this, because it just wouldn't be right for me to approach it that way. So anyhow, back to the cancellation. When I attended a meeting early on this year that we had, kind of an informational meeting, and it's a public meeting, it's whatever girls want to come and find out if they're interested in participating. We had moved the date of the pageant. Normally tomorrow would have been, you know, our pageant day. It's ever since the start of the Highland Games, the Miss Rogue River pageant has taken the first weekend in May as their pageant day, and that's when it would have been. But because of a couple of conflicts, including some of the girls had signed up for SAT testing, and one of the directors actually was going to be out of town that day, so they decided to move the pageant to June 3rd. Giving themselves basically a whole nother month to get ready and to, you know, move it away from those, you know, conflicts. So that was done a couple of months back. And then just a little over a week ago, two of the girls decided to pull out of the pageant, and that left us with only two girls. Now, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this, and this is the reason that has been given for the cancellation, and obviously this has a lot to do with it. But I would suggest that this is not the only reason, and B, I'm not sure this is a good enough reason to be canceling it. Now, had the pageant been tomorrow as normally had been scheduled and two girls pulled out, it might be a situation where you would maybe award the two remaining girls a scholarship and cancel the pageant, because it would be hard to make those adjustments with, you know, only a week or 2 weeks to go. However, there's two things going on here. One, the pageant was more than 5 weeks away from when the girls decided to pull out. And the other thing is the year that my daughter won back in 2012, she had participated in 2011 and had considered going out for the pageant again in 2012, and ultimately decided not to do it, that she had too much on her plate and couldn't make the time commitment. And as she would tell you, and that all of my kids would tell you, I am always going to hold my kids accountable. If you make a commitment, you need to follow through with that commitment. So in no way is anything I'm going to say here a defense of the girls pulling out of the pageant. That's something that they had to decide, and I'm not sure I would support them on that if I was their parent. Now, there's other things that can go into this, and I don't want to get into any of that right now. I just want to look at the specifics of the pageant being canceled. The year that my daughter won, she was not participating that year. She had been first runner-up the year before. She had decided that ultimately she couldn't do it that year, But with 2 weeks to go, they lost one of their three remaining contestants. And I say remaining, girls sign up and quit at various times throughout the pageant process. Every year that I've been involved, there's girls, there's always ones that, and it's at different times and for different reasons that leave the pageant. And so with 2 weeks left, they were down to two girls. And the girls involved said, hey, why don't we ask Kat if she would participate, even if it's just as kind of a fill-in role so that we, you know, so we have three, because you really want to have three at least, because you have a winner and you have a first and a second runner-up. And so I get all of that. And, of course, she jumped in at the last minute and said, sure, if you need me, I'll do it. She prepared a talent and got it ready in a, you know, 2 weeks' time. She learned the dance that they were doing. Now, the dance is not, it's not part of the competition, but it is part of the program that night. And so she got herself ready as best that she could in 2 weeks' time, and she won the competition. Now, this created another controversy separate from any of what we're talking about today. But what it did show was that, you know, if you can, you know, now granted, she had done it one the year before, so she knew what a lot of the things were. But if you can jump in and do this and win the pageant in 2 weeks' time, 5 weeks is plenty of time to get another girl. And having said that, if you can't get another girl, I still say you could do the pageant with just two girls. Maybe change the way that the evening goes and maybe not even make it a competition. Just make it a performance for the girls. Give them equal scholarships or even consult with them and see what they would want to do. But the decision was made that they would cancel. And I think where it really is a little point of contention for me is the announcement was made in the newspaper and no names are mentioned. And I'll give them credit for that, that the really the only name mentioned in the article was the person that they were talking to, which is one of the directors. And I'm not going to mention any names, but you can read the article. The only name mentioned was the person that they were interviewing. However, they basically, it was laid out that they put all of this on those two girls, and they mentioned the signed contract and that they were going to release them from their contract. And I get all of that. I want to hold the kids accountable also, but there's a lot that went into these girls deciding to bow out. These are two pretty responsible kids that I know personally, and they're involved in other things within school and extracurricular. So I don't think they took this lightly. And the fact that we lost another girl after the crab dinner this year, that was not mentioned in the article. So I'm a little upset about the way this was handled and the way it was put out in the public. Again, I'm not excusing these girls from their responsibility, but I don't think we need to throw them under the bus necessarily. I think that the adults involved all have a little bit of responsibility in this. We've had trouble with girls in the past that have, we've actually asked girls, you know, to leave the pageant because of not fulfilling their contract. And in one case, it became a real problem. And part of the problem was the girl had been participating all along, but the adults had never collected her contract. So this throwing the contracts out there in this article in the paper, I think is unfair. It's just not appropriate in my estimation, and other people may have another opinion, and that's fine. But in my estimation, that was really not a fair way to do that, because everybody in the community that's involved and that knows these girls, they knew who we're talking about just because the names aren't there. I don't think it's fair to do it that way. I also don't think that this had to be canceled. I don't think it's fair to the other two girls that were involved to just cancel it without giving them the same chance that the two girls got the year that my daughter came back to participate. You know, they were confident that they could get someone else to fill out the pageant, and they did so. And with a lot more time than they had that year, they decided to throw in the towel. And again, I just don't like the way it was presented. And I don't like the decision, frankly. But again, everybody can have their own opinions. And I would, I would encourage everybody that's been involved with the Miss Rogue River pageant to continue to support the pageant. I think it's a great program. It provides really generous scholarships for these ladies that participate. And I don't think it's going away. The last thing I would say is that it was said that now they'll look at things and maybe make some changes, and I'm not quoting it. I don't have the article in front of me. You can read that again in the Rogue River Press. But I would just suggest that not only should we be looking at how better we can hold the girls accountable that sign up for the pageant, which is obviously something they're going to be looking at, but let's make sure we're holding the adults accountable too, that they're doing the right things and not setting the girls up, you know, to be in a position where they feel like they need to step aside. And so those are my thoughts on that. It's a little close to my heart because I really, really enjoy this pageant. I love working with the girls. I just love watching them grow throughout the process. And so it hurts a little to see it go away this year. But the biggest thing is I'm not sure that article was the best way to handle things. And again, I'm not pointing the finger at any one person, because I wouldn't want to be in that situation. I wouldn't want to be the director being interviewed for that article. So again, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but I don't want to see the finger pointed strictly at, you know, specific people either. So I hope we can take a fair approach at what we do going forward. And again, I'm not a director. I don't really have much say in the matter. My wife is a director, but she's not really in the day-to-day process anymore. But I just hope that you know, we come out of this stronger next year, and you know, with a much improved program and maybe much clearer guidelines for everybody. So I'd love to hear what you think. If you want to contact the show, you can do that by email at feedback@943thebridge.com. Once again, that's feedback@943thebridge.com. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some new developments related to the bond measure and the upcoming school board elections. So we'll take a break and be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk
on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with NBA playoff action from yesterday. The Golden State Warriors heading to Utah with a 2-0 lead over the Jazz. Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Steph Curry all scored 20 points or more as the Jazz fell 115-104 Thursday. Durant says,
"Our crowd was great tonight. We fed off that energy. Defensively, we were pretty good. They made some tough ones over us. They made too many threes, I think. But for the most part, we did a good job of, you know, keeping our man in front and helping each other. So we got to be even better out on the road in Utah. We know it's going to be a hostile environment."
The Washington Wizards got off to another great start against the Boston Celtics Thursday night. This time, they held on in a 116-89 blowout to get within 2-1 of the Eastern Conference best-of-7. In other NBA news, San Antonio guard Tony Parker is done for the playoffs. He will need surgery to repair a ruptured quadriceps tendon. This is SRN Sports. Moving on to NHL playoff action yesterday, Oscar Lindberg and the New York Rangers have knotted their Eastern Conference semifinal series 2-2 with their second straight 4-1 win over the Ottawa Senators. Game 5 is on Saturday. Penguins captain Sidney Crosby is skating again, but coach Mike Sullivan provides no update on when his star will be ready to return from a concussion that he suffered in Game 3 of their playoff series against the Washington Capitals. In Major League Baseball yesterday in the American League, it was the A's over Minnesota 8-5, Texas 10, Houston 4. The White Sox beat Kansas City 8-3, Orioles 8, Red Sox 3. Seattle beat the Angels 11-3, Cleveland and Detroit rained out. In the National League, Reds 4, Pittsburgh 2, same score Nationals over Arizona. The Cubs beat Philadelphia 5-4 in 13 innings, Colorado 3, Padres 2 in 11. The Brewers beat St. Louis 5-4, Mets and Atlanta rained out. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the other subject I wanted to talk a little bit about today was going back to this upcoming election, and we have a school bond measure on the ballot once again, and also the school board members are up for election, and there's only one contested seat there, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but I wanted to get back to the bond measure, because in this week's Rogue River Press, former school board member Howard Wand sent a letter to the editor encouraging people to vote no on the bond. And it's a short letter, so I think I'm going to read that to you. And then the letter has created a bit of a firestorm, especially on social media, coming from those that are supporting the measure and those that are in the school board currently. And so let me read this letter to you, and then we'll talk about this a little bit. So it says, vote no on Rogue River School District bond measure 15-169. They are not listening. On your May 2017 ballot, Rogue River School District is pushing the failed bond measure again. You rejected the bond extension measure in November by a 55-46 margin. We support our schools, but expect efficient management of our tax dollars. Voters said no more, but the Rogue River School Board isn't listening. You have paid the Rogue River School District bond since 2000, plus property taxes to our schools. They claimed you would pay no more than you are paying now. That's already too much. Bonds should be fixed and not endless. How many more extensions are needed to accomplish reasonable objectives? Good directors and management know how to cut overhead, excess staff, aides, and wasteful programs. Enough with raising taxes because of poor management. As a corporate CEO for over 20 years, and your former school board chairman, my recommendation is don't support repeated failures. Your message was loud and clear. Manage our tax dollars more efficiently. Vote no on measure 15-169, signed Howard Wand of Rogue River. Now, of course, as it mentioned there, Howard is a former school board member and school board chairman. And so we have to kind of ask ourselves here, first of all, related to the letter, and then we'll kind of get to some of the responses that I've seen related to the letter, is this just a little bit of sour grapes because he's no longer a school board member? In fact, he had a failed write-in ballot attempt to get back onto the school board. Or is he making some good points there? And I, from my estimation, I would say it's a little bit of both. You know, as begrudgingly as he did when Rob Heilman was on the show and we were talking about the measure, you know, he even, I don't know if he admitted, but he definitely gave the possibility that since the bond was first put in place in 2007, that the funds potentially had been mismanaged at times, and maybe the communication with the community wasn't the best, and there's been a lot of contention on and off, and so he may be making some good points there, but the other point that could be made is, well, during that same period of time, Mr. Wand was on the school board. So while he makes a good point about mismanagement and that, you know, bonds you know, shouldn't be an ongoing thing necessarily. He's also kind of indicting himself in that because he was on the school board when all of this mismanagement was apparently taking place. Now, of course, he would probably say that he's talking about, you know, the current board, although, I mean, the board changes here and there all the time. In fact, it's going to change again with this new election. Even if Rich Pardee happens to win his seat back, there's still going to be at least one change on the board because Aaron Poston is filling a recently vacated seat. So she'll be new on the board. Bruce Sund is up for election and he is running unopposed. And just for a little bit of an aside, from my estimation, I think Bruce Sun is doing an excellent job. And even if he was running against somebody, it would be likely I would vote for him. But he's fairly new to the school board. And really the long, I believe at least in, if I'm not mistaken, that Rich Pardee, who's running against Misty Jacob, is probably the longest serving member left on the board right now. I may be mistaken, but if not, he's definitely been there longer than the other folks that are running currently. And that brings up an interesting point because Rich Pardee was also on the school board with Howard Wand. And they were on the board together, and I believe they both were voting in favor of closing the Evans Valley School back a few years back, which was a very contentious time within the district. And now, in that situation, I believe they were making a financial decision. I'm sure there's plenty of argument on how much consideration they were giving to the Weimar community and to the fact that, you know, that school was very important to people in that community. I'm not here to debate that all over again. That's all done and gone, and it's not worth debating those things. But there's no doubt that that decision was based primarily on financial decisions. Nobody really wanted to close the school for any other reason except for finances. And that's what we're talking about here with this bond measure, is the finances of the school and how they're being managed. And it should come as no surprise that all the statements I've seen from both current board members and those running for positions, they're all in favor of the bond passing, but it brings up another question. It's to be expected that everybody that's on the school board would be in support of the bond measure. It will help them do their jobs in running the schools and making the schools more attractive for, you know, kids to stay in the district. And, you know, with these open districts now, kids can easily go to other schools, Grants Pass. Obviously, if they want to go to private schools, they can go to Cascade Christian or St. Mary's. We have kids that have gone to Hidden Valley and North Valley. So with all the different options that are available, it's important for the school to have the programs that'll keep the kids there, and that takes funding. But that doesn't separate us from the fact that if the appearance to the community is that things were mismanaged, and if in fact maybe some of the monies were mismanaged, that's going to be a hard sell to those that are on the fence about this. And the reason I kind of say that is it brings me to the main source of response on social media to this letter in the editor came from Rob Heilman, who's on the school board. And of course, he's been on this show to promote the bond measure, and he's been on for other things. And the only thing I would say about what I'm reading and what I'm seeing is, and you can go onto Facebook. The school board, Rogue River School Board, has a page. The information is there that Rob's been putting out the last couple of days. And Rob makes a lot of really good points to counter what Mr. Wand has said in his letter to the editor. And again, you know, we don't know if some of this is sour grapes on Mr. Wand's part. You know, would he have supported this bond had he still been on the school board? I mean, Mr. Party is on the school board. He supports the bond measure. But he was, you know, they were in agreement on a lot of things while they were serving together on the school board. So why do they have differing opinions now? So that's it's a question we have to ask. But in Rob trying to counter this letter to the editor, and I do think, and again, even just before I went on air, I noticed that he's encouraging people to respond to the letter with their own letters to the editor. In fact, he put up what his letter is going to look like, and adding that to the other two responses that he's already posted online. Again, I would say that he's making a lot of good points and putting out a lot of good information to counter what Mr. Wand has said. But I want to put a little bit of caution to my friend there that the letters and the responses so far that I'm reading sound almost as much like an attack on Mr. Wand as it is as a rebuttal to his letter. All the information is wonderful, is a wonderful rebuttal, but too many uses of his name and the word you. Don't make this personal, Rob, and whoever else is going to write letters to the editor. I mean, I can't tell you, you know, you have to make your own decision, but I would caution you, the people that we're trying to convince, and I say we, I'm saying that as supporting the schools and supporting the measure, but I would caution you that if you make these attacks, the more personal you make them, the more you're turning off the very people that may be on the fence here. It's nice to get likes on social media about, you know, you standing up for what you believe in. But those people that comment in support of you, they're already on your side. They're already active people that are going to vote for this measure. You're not trying to win their support. You need to win the support of those people that voted against this measure the first time. And I just don't believe you're going to do it by making it personal. Leave out the personal prepositions. Leave out Mr. Hardy's name. Don't make this personal. It's about the school. It's about the funding for the school. And I'm not defending his letter. It's obviously, you know, pretty pointedly put toward the school board. But he didn't name anybody specifically. He's just giving some, you know, pretty pointed reasons of why he's against the bond. You don't have to agree with him, but he didn't, I mean, at least on a specific level, he didn't make it personal. Let's not do the same. We don't do our cause any good by making it personal. And that would be the only thing I would say. I would caution people, if you're going to take Rob's advice and send letters to the editor, and I encourage you to do so, stand up for what you believe, stand up for the school district and the funding. But I would caution you, as someone who's been on the fence on some different things in the past, it's a real turnoff when you start making it personal, and it starts to look like things did back when they closed the school. Things got really personal and sometimes really hateful. It's just not a good way to do business, and I would, you know, I would just caution you to give that some thought before, you know, what's the saying, look before you leap. I've definitely put things out there. Shoot, I put things out there in the first segment on this show that, you know, may be a little bit touchy. But that's what I do. I'm on the radio, and some subjects are touchy. Some subjects are going to be controversial, and this is no different. But again, your cause needs to be the important focus and not the person that you're trying to counter in the paper. So I just wanted to put that out there. I would encourage you, as Rob did, get those letters out there, but I would just say, let's not make it contentious. Just state the facts and why you think it's a good idea and why what he said you can counter those things, but just don't make it personal. I don't think it's a good idea. It's a losing approach, in my opinion. But again, everybody can have a different opinion. And if you want to give your opinion and let me know how you feel, again, that email is feedback@943thebridge.com. Once again, that's feedback@943thebridge.com. Just put Rogue Talk in the subject line on emails. And if we get some emails on some of these subjects, I'll be happy to discuss them on the next show. And so we'll take another break here. And when we get back, we'll talk about Chieftain Sports and some other community events coming up. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. Fewer Americans filed for jobless benefits last week after 2 weeks of small gains. The Labor Department says overall 1.96 million Americans are collecting unemployment benefits, down 8.1% from a year ago. Long-term mortgage rates have barely moved this week after rising last week for the first time in 5 weeks. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on 30-year fixed-rate home loans ticked down to 4.2% from 4.3% last week. Italian tax officials say Google has agreed to pay $335 million to settle an ongoing tax dispute. Google has been under investigation by Milan prosecutors for the tax years 2009 to 2013. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell over 6 points with business.
94.3, The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Back to Rogue Talk. Now let's take a look at what's going on around town and in Chieftain Sports. So looking over at the community center calendar, they have an upcoming, it's today from 4:30 to 5:30. Will be a chili dinner and bingo, and this is a fundraiser for their new food pantry building. So they're going to have a chili dinner. They're going to have bingo. Dinner is from 4:30 to 5:30. The menu will include chili, cornbread, salad, and dessert. The cost is $5 for the dinner. There will be a 50-50 drawing. This says the drawing is at 5:15, so they'll be selling the 50-50 tickets during the dinner. And tickets are $1 each, or 7 tickets for $5. And then starting at 6 o'clock will be bingo. It'll be $1 per sheet. And kids are welcome. And again, this is a fundraiser to raise money for their new food pantry building. So tonight at the community center, dinner from 4:30 to 5:30, and bingo will start at 6 o'clock. So I'd encourage you to get out there and support that fundraiser over at the community center right here in right on Broadway here in town. And Of course, the third Friday of every month is the Community Center Dinner. And so the next one of those dinners will be May 19th. And we'll give you more information as it gets closer, but that this month's dinner will be sponsored by Maine Building Supply. And since we're talking about Maine Building Supply, I just wanted to give them a quick shout out. I went by the other day looking to get one of those large golf umbrellas. I had to do a broadcast out at Cave Junction at Illinois Valley High School, and the weather wasn't looking too good. And they didn't have any for sale at that time. I think they get some in for their summer stock, but they didn't have any yet. But they did have some that they use there, and they were nice enough to loan me one. So I was really appreciative of that. Bobby and Kim, thank you so much for letting me borrow that umbrella. The weather actually was really windy, but it didn't get rained on much. But it was nice to have that there to be able to protect my equipment. And so I wanted to give a shout out to Maine Building Supply for that. And again, they're also sponsoring this month's Community Center Dinner. And also just one more plug for the Community Center. We talked about the fundraiser and having bingo at this fundraiser tonight. But there's always bingo at the Community Center every Saturday at 4:00. And it's all cash payouts. And they play 18 regular games, 5 special games, including the Bonanza and Hot Ball Pot. Now, I have no idea what that means, but for those of you that play bingo, I'm sure it makes it an even more fun time. So if you want to get out for the Community Center Bingo, that happens every Saturday at 4:00. So that's all the Community Center news I had for you. So let's move over to some things in the sporting world. We've talked about Cole Watson on the show before, and there's a couple of things that I wanted to mention related to Cole. He participated in a 50K race in California recently, and he was the winner in that race. The second place person in this the race is about 31 miles. It's a 50 kilometer. And he did it in 4 hours, 21 minutes, and it was 23 minutes ahead of the runner-up. So Cole is just killing it right now. We wanted to salute him. And also, with related to Cole's running, he recently tweeted out on Twitter, of course. If you're tweeting, you're on Twitter. He says, "I'm proud to say I'll be repping the red, white, and blue this summer in Italy." So I clicked on the link to see what that was about. And USA Mountain Running has their world championships in Italy. So the top American mountain runners were selected for the world championships. And so Cole will be representing Team USA in Italy at those championships. And when I can get some more information on that, I will share that with you here, how we can follow along with what Cole's been doing. And so again, congratulations, Cole. You're doing a great job, and you're a huge, you're a huge encouragement for our runners around here. And that includes the Rogue Talk mascot, my son. He's chasing his own running dreams as a sophomore at the high school. And we're going to talk about him in a minute and how the track team is doing. But he definitely looks up to you and sees the things that you're doing and gives him something to strive for. So we salute you for all you're doing. Since your days at Rogue River High School, you've just gotten better and better. And so that's great. So let's move over to the high school sports. The Rogue River Chieftain baseball team only had one game this week, and that was a game right here on 94.3 The Bridge on Tuesday. And they were taking on St. Mary's, looking for their first conference win. And they headed into the fifth inning trailing 5-1, so still a pretty close game and still plenty of time to get back into it. But unfortunately, the Chieftains surrendered 8 runs in the top of the fifth inning and turned what was a close game into a 13-1 victory for the St. Mary's Crusaders in a five-inning. That game is the 10-run mercy rule was implemented there and made it a five-inning game, and they lost 13-1. And they will be traveling to Medford tonight to U.S. Cellular Fields. They'll take on Cascade Christian High School with games at 4 and 6 p.m. And then they'll travel on Tuesday to Lakeview. Those are all conference games, so hopefully the Chieftains can find a way to get their first conference win of the season. And let's move over to the golf team just briefly here. They did not play since we talked about them last week, but they will be playing Monday. They will travel to Bandon for the District 4 3A, 2A, 1A championships. So we want to cheer them to do well. Of course, we've been talking about the golf team here on Rogue Talk, and they've been doing a really nice job, both the boys and the girls. And so we hope that they shoot their best out at Bandon in the District 4 championships coming up on Monday. Now we'll move over to softball. The softball team will also be traveling to U.S. Cellular Fields in Medford tonight. They'll also be playing a doubleheader with Cascade Christian. And the weather's a little sketchy out there. I got a report back that so far it looks like the games are still on. If that changes in the next few minutes before this broadcast is over, I'll let you know. But at this point, it looks like those games are still a go. But they play also at 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And they'll be looking to improve their league schedule. They're 3-1 in the conference right now. They played a doubleheader also last Tuesday, also at home. Those were non-league games against Chiloquin, and they won both of those games, 13-2 and 7-4. And in the first game, sophomore Molly Culotta had an in-the-park home run. So we want to salute Molly. Of course, she's been on the show. She was on the show last summer talking about softball, and she's at it again with an impressive performance this past Tuesday. So finally, let's move to Chieftain track and field. Now, the track and field team is headed to Illinois Valley today for a twilight meet, and last Friday, of course, as we mentioned here, they were headed to South Umpqua, and some of the top finishers for the Chieftains at the South Umpqua meet, the Chieftains had winners in three events. Aiden Norris was the winner in the 110 hurdles. Derek Pratt won the high jump, and he reached 6'2" again in the high jump, which has been his season best and puts him at the top of the standings for the Southern Cascade Conference. Aiden Norris also has the top time in the 110 in the conference. And then the Rogue Talk mascot won the 3,000-meter race. He improved his time, moved himself into second in the conference. And so they'll be at Illinois Valley tonight. And then next week, next Friday and Saturday, the track team will be headed to Lakeview. And that will be the Southern Cascade Conference Championship meet. And so we'll be looking for good things from all the athletes. And also, Cameron, by winning his second straight 3,000-meter win, earned him a Athlete of the Week in the Rogue River Press. And so everyone was happy about that in our household. But also, the other Athlete of the Week this week was Madison Bless. And I got to see Madison for the first time. She runs the 100-meter hurdles on the girls' side for the Chieftains. And I watched her. She got a sixth-place finish. She won her heat at the South Umpqua Twilight. And I got a chance to watch her, and I got to tell you, this girl's form is really, really good. And that's what helped her not only win the heat, but get an overall sixth place last week. She had a very fast girl next to her in that heat, And coming down the stretch, she was clean over every hurdle, and this girl started to struggle toward the end and hit, you know, just clipped a few hurdles, didn't knock, you know, didn't fall or anything, but those clips were just enough to slow her down just enough. And because Maddie was clean over her hurdle, she won that heat. And so we want to salute her as the other athlete of the week in the paper and another one of the standout athletes on the Rogue River track team. So we're excited about that. And of course, the middle schoolers have still had their track meets going. And I don't have results from their most recent meet, but I can say on the schedule, they will have their district championships coming up. That will be next Thursday, May 11th, and that will be starting at 1 o'clock at Spiegelberg Stadium in Medford. So we want to wish the best to our junior high track athletes. And they've been doing a great job this year, and we'll be curious to see how they finish in that district meet. And so we'll take, another minute or two I can take here. And so we'll go back to the Rogue Talk mascot. He's been working really hard at improving his times. He's up in the top 10 in the 800, the 1500, and the 3000 for the conference. He hasn't been doing 800s recently, and I don't know if he'll do any more of them. The way the schedule's set up for the conference tournament, he might have a chance to do the 800 at the end of the second day. He'll be done with his main two events, which are the 1500 and the 3000. So he may give that a shot. But as it is for some of the other athletes on the Chieftain team, like Courtney Secreta and Aaron Hansen, Derek Pratt, Aiden Norris, and I'm sure I'm leaving some out, but those are some of the standouts from the team as well as Cameron. They'll be trying to make it to state. That's the goal of the conference tournament, is to get in to state. I believe, and I may be getting this wrong, and I'm sure my son will correct me if I am, but at least the top two from the conference meet are automatic bids to the state tournament. It may be more than two, and I think there are ways to get in on time, meaning that, you know, maybe a particular conference has some of the best athletes in a given event. If your time is good enough to qualify, even though you weren't in the top two or the top three or whatever they're taking for your conference, you may still be able to get in on your time. That's kind of how that works, but I know out of our conference, we either get an automatic two or three athletes making it. So if all of these, you know, young people can continue doing as well as they've been doing, we got a good chance of sending a few athletes to state, and we look forward to that. And of course, if Cameron makes it to state, I'll definitely be trying to make that. That'll be in Eugene. And my wife's already got some shopping plans if we go, so we're pushing for Cameron to make it to state and for all the Chieftain athletes to continue to do well and see if Derek Pratt can improve on that 6'2". He's tied for first in the conference with that 6'2" jump in the high jump, and we'll see if he can improve on that. And that ranks him right up there in the state qualifiers too. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see how these conference meet and the state meet go for our standouts from Rogue River. And so that's going to be it for the Rogue River Chieftain Sports. And once again, I would tell you that if there's anything we've talked about here on today's show or on any other show that you'd like to give some input to, I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to know, how am I doing? Are you enjoying the show? Are there things you'd like to hear that you're not hearing? I want to know all those things. I want to make this the best we can make it to serve the community here in Rogue River and in Weimar. And so any of those suggestions, you can send those to feedback@943thebridge.com and put Rogue Talk on the subject line. Those will come right to me as long as you put Rogue Talk in the subject line. And I love to hear from you. I appreciate you listening today. So until next week, I would just tell you, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.